But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Yep, we're up to the big one. We're going to talk about patience today. This is the Panic Podcast for Monday, the second day of March. Yes, we're out of January and February. Finally, it's March. Good to have you with us on the Panic Podcast, where we make sense of the Bible. My name is Mike. And I'm your online Bible study buddy. Yeah, today we're going to talk about, I think, one of the most challenging yet transformative aspects of the Christian life, and that is patience. How are you doing with that? Are you all patient people, or are you impatient people? Well, we're going to find out on the podcast today. Well, when it comes to patience, none of us is as patient as we should be. Let's put it that way. It looks like spring has sprung. You know that next week, next weekend, we go back to, daylight savings time. And, spring is literally, less than 3 weeks away. We're going to be up into the 70s in the second half of the week. So it's going to be beautiful, just beautiful. Well, let's take a quick reading here of, let's see, Galatians 5:22 and 23. It's our, verses that we're looking at over the next few weeks. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience. See, you know, patience is kind of right in the heart of this divine harvest of the fruit of the Spirit. And the thing I want you to understand before we go any farther here is that patience is not a suggestion or an optional thing. It is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit's work within us. So if you've got a problem with patience, my friend, you've got a big problem. Patience is a big, big problem. And it's something that modern Americans have a problem with in the first place, because, you know, I think all of us are used to instant gratification in one form or another. Like, we get same day deliveries or 2 day deliveries, you know, real quick. You got instant potatoes, microwave meals. You got notifications on your phone, for crying out loud. I have mine off, by the way. The only notifications I have on my phone are obviously a ring when someone's calling me, so my ringtone's always on, and also the text notification, because I frequently have people trying to, you know, get a hold of me by way of text, especially when I don't answer their calls right away. They're impatient and then they text me. But you know, these days patience, it kind of feels like old fashioned, like it's a leftover relic from a bygone era. And yet, as followers of Christ, we are called to embody this fruit, not as a burden, but as a blessing that actually draws us closer to God's character and better equips us to do His work. So this is, it's an important, teaching, this teaching on patience. And I really hope that over the next half hour or so, I really am able to convince you to pursue the spiritual fruit of patience. To understand patience as a fruit of the Spirit, we need to consider its source, God Himself. You know, the Bible repeatedly describes God as long-suffering, especially in the Old Testament. You read that term all the time. And it's a term that captures God's enduring mercy, and forbearance toward mankind. Now, in Hebrew, long suffering is often rendered as erech apayim. And it sounds funny and it looks funny. It's two Hebrew words, which oddly enough, if you translate that literally, it means, are you ready for this? Long of nose. Long of nose. Or slow to anger. The implication, I'm not sure what long of nose has to do with anything. That's Hebrew. But it implies a deep reservoir of patience that doesn't flare up at the slightest provocation. Like, for example, if you take the story of Noah, remember Noah? You read it, it's found Genesis, almost said Galatians, it's Genesis chapter 6 through 9. And you ought to read that sometime, the whole story of Noah. You know, mankind had descended into wickedness so profound that there was no hope at all. Genesis 6 verse 9 says, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. I mean, that's pretty bad. And yet, God had patience. He did not unleash his wrath and his judgment right away. He gave Noah over a century to build an ark and preach righteousness. Imagine that, 120 years exactly of divine patience, allowing time for repentance, In the midst of mockery and disbelief. And God's long suffering here was not indifference, but rather an invitation to salvation. Now, Peter, thousands of years later, he thought this was pretty profound, and he wrote this. He said, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That's 2 Peter 3 verse 9. And you know, we see this pattern repeated throughout history, Israel's history. Like in Exodus, after God delivered his people from Egypt with all kinds of mighty signs and wonders, God put up with their incessant grumbling and mumbling and complaining in the wilderness for 40 years. I mean, these people complained about everything, food, water, you name it. And they even began to long for the good old days of their slavery back in Egypt. And at Mount Sinai, you all know the story, Moses climbed the mountain to receive the law, and he was gone longer than the people thought was necessary. So what did the people do? They grew impatient and forged a golden calf to worship. So put up with God had they become. God's anger burned, and he was ready to do them in. And yet, well, you know what happened, right? He relented because Moses interceded for his people, thus revealing his character. Exodus 34, 6 and 7. And God paused in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Now this long suffering, this patience, that wasn't weakness in any way. It was in fact grounded in covenant love, giving Israel repeated chances to get it right. Now the prophets, they would continue with this theme in the book of Jonah, by the way. It was an interesting four chapters. You ought to read them sometime. God chooses to send the reluctant prophet Jonah to Nineveh, the Assyrian capital, a city ripe for destruction because of its violence. But Noah gets there and he preaches, and the citizens, incredibly, heeded the message of the Lord, and remarkably, they repented, and God spared them. Much, I might add, to Jonah's disappointment. He was disappointed that that Nineveh wasn't destroyed. They were nasty people, and the prophet wanted God to act, and destroy the whole city. Jonah 4, 1 and 2. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. Yes, it was wrong that God, as far as he was concerned, that God didn't destroy Nineveh when he should have. Verse 2, he prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you're a great and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending capacity. He was actually mad because he knew God's character, and he knew that if he went and preached, that God would give them a break, which he did. Yeah, I mean, even towards the enemies of Israel, even towards God's enemies, God is patient. All through the Psalms, God is praised as being long-suffering. For example, you've got a famous verse, Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. And, you know, this is such a comforting verse that is repeated a couple of times in the Psalms. And the thing is, it's not merely an abstract theological statement we're reading here. In fact, David wrote this very verse from his encounters that he'd had with God, where God's patience preserved David's life or his people in spite of their sin and rebellion. Now, why does all this matter? Well, it matters because if God, who is holy and just, exercises such profound long suffering, how much more should we, as people who bear his image, filled with his spirit, strive to emulate it? And the thing is, the kind of patience that I'm talking about, it's not self-generated. It is the overflow of dwelling in him and he dwelling in us, who is eternally patient. Look, some people are naturally patient, usually little old ladies with blue hair. They're very patient. Okay, that's their temperament. And look, some people, even young people, are naturally patient. That is not the kind of patience I'm talking about. I'm talking about a divine, supernatural patience given to you by the Holy Spirit. Now, it's in you. All you've got to do is access it. Now, all of what I said for the past 12 minutes is true. It's also true that patience does not come naturally to most of us. I am a very impatient man. I always have been. I lose my patience. I get frustrated. Sometimes I even get angry. The Bible paints a stark contrast between God's long-suffering and our human propensity for short tempers. James 1, 19 and 20. Listen to this, these two verses here. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Now listen. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because our anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. I wonder how many times we flip this verse upside down, where we are in fact quick to anger, quick to speak, and slow to listen. I mean, just think about everyday life. A driver cuts you off in traffic, and frustration boils over. A coworker misses a deadline, and harsh words fly. And if they don't fly, they're in your head. Oh, how about this one? I love this one. A child's repeated questions test our limits, leading to us giving snapped answers. Now, there's a warning, believe it or not, in the book of Proverbs about this. Proverbs 14:29. You ready for this? Those who are patient have great understanding, but the quick-tempered display folly. The quick-tempered are foolish. Our short tempers exalt folly. You know why? Because they stem from pride, believing that our time, our rights, or our expectations are the only things that count. Now, the impatience that we see today all around us, that's nothing new. Impatience has been around since the fall of man. I mean, think about it. Cain's short temper led to the first murder. King Saul's impatience cost him the kingdom when he offered unauthorized sacrifices instead of patiently waiting for Samuel to show up. Get this, even Moses, the meekest man on earth, according to Numbers 12, verse 3, he got so frustrated, so angry with his people. Do you know what he did? He didn't yell at them. He didn't punch anybody out. He hit a rock in anger with a stick. But that act, hitting a rock, not a person, mind you, hitting a rock in anger, barred him from entering the promised land. I'm telling you, folks, patience is super important. Now, in our modern context, you know, social media really amplifies impatience. Like a differing of opinion on Facebook or X or somewhere. I mean, that can spark immediate outrage. Cancel culture thrives on people making snap judgments. Forgetting Proverbs 19:11. Listen to this. A person's wisdom yields patience. The implication is if you're not a patient person, if you're impatient, you're not wise. Second half of that verse, it is to one's glory to overlook an offense. See, short tempers, short fuse, that reveals a heart problem. The problem, you have a problem. It's inside of you because you're prioritizing yourself over surrender to the Holy Spirit. The problem is not just that you have a short temper that you lose your temper with people or things, situations. It's that you're not surrendering to the Holy Spirit. So why aren't you? Why aren't you surrendering to the Holy Spirit? Thank the Lord, there is hope. As we surrender, as we yield to the Holy Spirit, He actually transforms our hasty hearts. Oh, yes, He does. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, Paul says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Look at patience begins with recognizing our own weaknesses and relying on His strength. Now, let's get down to cases here. Let's apply all this to real life trials. There are two things in life that are going to get you every time. Two things in life will cause you to lose patience. They are mistreatment and disappointment. I mean, these two things are the crucibles where patience is either forged or fractured. So let's talk about mistreatment first. If you'll recall, Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 5 during His Sermon on the Mount to turn the other cheek, go the extra mile, and to love your enemies. Let me read those verses. It's Romans 5, 38 to 42. Jesus is talking. He says, the law of Moses says, if a man gouges out another's eye, he must pay with his own eye. If a tooth gets knocked out, knock out the tooth of the person who did it. But I say this, don't resist violence. If you are slapped on one cheek, turn the other too. If you're ordered to court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat too. If the military demand that you carry their gear for a while, carry it too. Give to those who ask, and don't turn away from those who want to borrow. Now, Jesus is not trying to turn you into a bunch of, you know, passive people. None of this is about being passive. It's about a lifestyle that is actively rooted in trusting God. Like, let me give you an example. Take the story of Joseph. It's in Genesis chapters 37 through 50 inclusive. You ought to read them sometime. Joseph was sold into slavery by his jealous brothers. He would then be falsely accused of chicanery by his boss's wife. He was forgotten, left to rot in prison. Yet he waited patiently, using his God-given ability to interpret dreams. He eventually rose to power, and when after decades, he was reunited with his brothers, here's what he said. It's Genesis 50, verse 20. As far as I'm concerned, God turned into good what you meant for evil. For he brought me to this high position I have today so that I could save the lives of many people. See, Joseph's patience turned betrayal into a blessing. Not only did he get into Egypt where he eventually became second only to Pharaoh, but because of his position, he was able to save his whole family, 70 in all, during the great famine. And he also saved Egypt and all the surrounding countries. Or then there's David. Take the case of David, who was hounded by King Saul. In 1 Kings 24 and 26, two chapters there, David actually spares crazy King Saul's life twice. You know, had the sandals been on the other feet, you can be sure that Saul would not have spared David's life. Now here's what David had to say about it. It's 1 Samuel 24, verse 10. He said, "This day you have seen with your eyes how the Lord delivered you into my hands in the cave. Some urged me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, I will not lay my hand on my Lord, the king, because he is the Lord's anointed." You know, instead of retaliation, David waited on God's timing, exemplifying these verses. Listen to this. If your enemy is hungry, give him food. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. This will make him feel ashamed of himself, and God will reward you. It's Proverbs 25, 21 and 22. You know, over in the New Testament, of course, Jesus is our perfect example. Here you have a man who is mocked, beaten up, bruised and bloodied, crucified, and hanging on the cross. He was able to say this, "Father, forgive these people, for they don't know what they are doing." Luke 23:34. And thinking about all that Jesus went through, Peter wrote this, "He never sinned, he never told a lie. He never answered back when insulted. When he suffered, he did not threaten to get even. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly." 1 Peter 2, 22 and 23. Now what about disappointments? I think, you know, in some ways, disappointments are worse than mistreatments. You know what I'm talking about? Life's little letdowns. You know, people that forget about you. People make promises, don't keep them. Failed dreams, unanswered prayers, some kind of loss. All these things really test our endurance and test our faith. You look at Job, stripped of his family, his health, his wealth. He lamented to God, complained, and yet he declared this. He said in Job 13:15, "Though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. I will surely defend my ways to his faith." Job's patience, he wasn't 100% patient all the time, but he had some patience during those dark times of his suffering. actually led him to having a much deeper faith. He said, famously in Job 19, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. The prophet Habakkuk, he really struggled. He grappled with God's allowance of injustice in the land, and he did what you're supposed to do when you got a bone to pick with the Lord. He took his questions right to God. Speaking of notifications, there's a text message. Habakkuk 1, 2, and 3, the prophet says, how long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There's strife and conflict abounds. But now, after he said all that, after he vented his disappointments to God, do you know what happened? Do you know the story of Habakkuk? He wrote this in the third chapter, verses 17 and 18. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no fruit, though there are no sheep in the pen, no cattle in the stalls, it's a pretty miserable situation he's describing there, he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Yeah, look. Disappointments can make you feel bad, but they aren't the end. They are, in fact, a pathway to maturity. Well, as I said at the beginning of the program, patience, it's super important. All the fruit of the Spirit, they're all important, but I think patience might be the most important. And I'm going to give you five reasons why. First of all, patience actually reflects God's character. Like you and I, we're supposed to be ambassadors of his kingdom on the earth. And in a world that is full of rage and rush, our patience really stands out, pointing others to Christ. Colossians 3, 12 and 13, therefore as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. Forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Like you are supposed to reflect God's character. And when you're impatient, you're making God look bad. Please trust me. You don't want to make God look bad. You want to make him look good. Secondly, impatience actually helps you to grow up and grow as a believer. James 1, 2, and 4. Dear brothers, is your life full of difficulties and temptations? Then be happy, for when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow, so let it grow. And don't try to squirm out of your problems, for when your patience is finally in full bloom, then you'll be ready for anything, strong in character, full and complete. Thirdly, patience actually strengthens all your relationships. Ephesians 4, verse 2, be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. When you're patient with people, you'll have a much better relationship with them, and they will have a much better relationship with you. Fourth, patience aligns us with our future hope. Like you and I are waiting patiently for Christ's return, aren't we? And 2 Peter 3:15 urges us to, quote, bear in mind that our Lord's patience, in other words, the fact that he's not coming back this instant, our Lord's patience means salvation for the lost, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom God gave him. We got to be patient because Jesus is patient. He's holding back his return. until that last soul gets saved. And I guess our patience really does reflect the Lord's patience, anticipating the new creation. And finally, I would say this. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit, right? Just like love, joy, and peace, and the rest of them. That means that it is empowered by Him. This is supernatural patience, and it's not in you naturally. As I said earlier, you may be a very patient person in life, but that's natural patience, and that's not what I'm talking about. We access the Spirit's patience only as we yield to Him. So when you're acting impatient, obviously you're not yielding to the Holy Spirit. And we can see it. We can see you not yielding to the Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage you, it's 31 minutes past the hour, abide in Him through prayer, through Scripture, and fellowship. And I promise you, as you do those things, the fruit of the Spirit, patience, will grow. And I think you can agree with me that we all need a little more patience. All right, gang, that's it for today, for this Monday. Now, Lord willing, we'll be back on Wednesday. We'll be talking more about the Christian family then, so be sure to tune into the podcast, Lord willing. So have a good rest of the week. Get out there and enjoy the fairly decent weather. It's going to be just gorgeous towards the end of the week, but have a great week. Be a blessing to everybody you talk to, and we'll talk again soon. Thanks for listening to the Panic Podcast today.